Grey's Anatomy, the book, not the TV show, has been a foundational text for medical students and all curious humans for the past 150 years. But there's actually very little known about its author, Henry Grey, and little has been written about H.V. Carter, whose illustrations were vital to making the book the pillar that it has become. Bill Hayes looks into those two mysterious figures in his new book, The Anatomist, A True Story of Grey's Anatomy, which is published by Ballantine Books. I'm very pleased it brings Mr. Hayes to the show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Now, why has Grey's Anatomy remained such a mainstay of medical study for the past 150 years? Haven't we learned an awful lot since then?
It's such a good question. You know, at the time Grey's Anatomy was published in 1858, there were other anatomy textbooks. Anatomy books had been around for hundreds of years, but this is the book that has survived the test of time. Grey's goes with the word anatomy just like Webster's does with dictionary or Roget's with thesaurus.
Because it was that much better?
Well, you know, it has survived, I think, for a couple of reasons. One, luck played a part. But also, I really think it's because of the drawings. The reason that people still go into used bookstores or see it on a remainder table, pick it up, browse, look through it, and then take it home is, I think, mostly because of the drawings.
So should it be called H.V. Carter's Anatomy?
Well, you know, he should definitely get equal billing. And in the first edition of Grey's Anatomy, interestingly enough, both Grey and the artist Carter had equal billing on the spine and on the title page. But after that, he virtually went uncredited. So one of the really delights or thrills for me of writing my book was to kind of rescue the artist, H.V. Carter, from obscurity and to tell his story.
Was this a collaboration?
Between the two of them.
Yeah.
It was truly a collaboration. Henry Grey and H.V. Carter were colleagues at St. George's Medical School. And in fact, Henry Grey was Carter's first anatomy teacher. He was a few years older. And they had collaborated on a few small projects before. And then in November of 1855, Henry Grey came to Carter and said, "Let's put together a book on anatomy."
And they were both relatively young.
They were, yes. Carter was 25 and Grey was 28.
Now, human dissection has been both forbidden and revered throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
What was the situation in the 1850s?
It had changed a lot. You know, the father of medicine, Hippocrates, never dissected a body. It was forbidden. It was taboo. And it wasn't until the 13th century that that taboo started to be lifted.
By the time, then we see Leonardo and Vesalius and
Right. And they had done it sometimes in secret. In fact, it was still not really considered respectful or ethically right to do. But by the 19th century, times had changed, and there was actually legislation that made it legal to provide cadavers for dissection and to learn and to teach medical students.
So they got their cadavers from the morgue?
They did. And in some cases, people did, even in those days, donate their bodies specifically to science. Now, one of the really interesting things about Grey's Anatomy, to put it into context, is that the book was written at the dawn of modern surgery. Only a few years before, anesthesia in its earliest form, chloroform, had been developed. So for the first time, surgeons were able to put patients under and really perform internal surgery. And that meant that med students and doctors and surgeons needed to know the full terrain of the human body, making a book like Grey's Anatomy necessary.
I understand that students could bring in bodies for extra credit.
Well, that was a few years back. That was more when it was still illegal and not so easy to procure cadavers. But yeah, students could get extra credit for bringing in their own bodies, which is one of the grislier ways to earn credit, I would say.
The schooling to become a doctor used to be much less regulated than mm-hmm. it is today. How did it work for Grey and Carter?
It was sort of more like education by your own design, like designing your own major. You know, you had to put it together yourself. It was much less regulated than it is today. And, you know, one of the really fun things and fascinating things about writing this book, aside from discovering the stories of Grey and Carter, was learning anatomy myself. I came up with this idea to write a biography of Grey and Carter and tell the story behind this classic text. I had my characters, I had my idea, I had my story. One thing I did not have was a full understanding of anatomy. I don't have a formal background in medicine or science. I'm not a doctor. So I called up UCSF, a medical center near where I live, and asked if I could observe a couple of anatomy classes. That was really the full extent of it in my mind from the beginning. I would just attend a few lectures. I was hooked by the end of the first day, and I ended up spending a full year attending anatomy classes, going from never having seen a cadaver in my life to ultimately performing full cadaver dissection.
That's why some people have wondered whether the title The Anatomist refers to Gray and Carter or to Bill Hayes.
That's exactly right. By the end of the book, I've earned the title too. I am the anatomist as well, but I'm the amateur anatomist.
Now, when did you buy your first copy of Gray's Anatomy? Because you've written a lot about the body, even though your anatomist experience has been fairly recent.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, people often ask me, what's your deal with the body? Why do you have this fascination with the body? And I've learned that the best way to explain it is to liken it to a doctor. You know, there's this misconception, I think, that doctors become doctors because purely out of altruism and to help their fellow man and to heal. But the truth is, and I learned this firsthand, doctors also become doctors because they're fascinated by the human body, the body in illness and in health. I share that fascination. I just didn't take that career path and become a doctor. I became a writer. And through my books, Sleep Demons, which looks at the history of sleep science, Five Quarts, which looks at the history of blood, and now The Anatomist, I'm able really to explore the body from different perspectives. So I've had a copy of Gray's Anatomy for some 25 or 30 years, and it has sat on my shelf next to my dictionary and thesaurus and other reference sources. But it was about 4 years ago to the day that I pulled out my copy of Gray's Anatomy. I think I was checking the spelling on some term for something I was writing, checked it, and then I remember I was putting it back on the shelf, and I paused. And I looked at it, and I thought, God, I wonder who wrote this thing. And I looked on the back of the book jacket. I didn't see any information. I found the name, Henry Gray. And I swear to you, right at that moment, the writerly wheels started turning.
Bill Hayes' latest book is The Anatomist, A True Story of Gray's Anatomy, published by Ballantine Books. And then you discovered that Henry Gray presents serious problems for a biographer.
Dr. Gray, gave me quite a challenge. He left virtually nothing behind. No papers, no letters, no diaries, not even the original manuscript of Gray's Anatomy.
And on purpose? Did he burn everything?
Well, my belief is that all of his papers and other personal materials were burned. Henry Gray died of smallpox just 3 years after Gray's Anatomy was published. And in those days, and this is London, England, one of the ways they dealt with contagion was to burn everything in a person's home or apartment, wherever that person was living. And I think that's what happened to everything. So he gave me a challenge. And in fact, I talked to other writers who had attempted biographies of Gray and not gone on with their projects because they couldn't find enough material. Well, I pieced together the basics of his life through public documents and school records. And then I discovered a great find, a little trove of diaries, letters, and papers left behind by H.V. Carter. Henry Van Dyke Carter, the heretofore unknown artist who did all these incredible anatomical drawings for Gray's Anatomy. So I spent about a year deciphering and transcribing his diaries and letters and found that he really tells the story of how he worked with Gray and how they put that book together and also of his own amazing life in those documents.
Well, it's a story of collaboration, and it is amazing that it isn't called Gray's and Carter's Anatomy.
Right.
But one could not have done it without the other, obviously.
Absolutely. I mean, they were very complementary, and their relationship was truly a partnership. Gray was definitely the more ambitious, driven, industrious, focused one, and he initiated the project. Carter was definitely more the kind of classic tortured artiste, much more temperamental, but also very creative, and brought his incredible artistic and natural artistic talent to the project.
Do you think it's the drawings that makes this book attractive to all people, not just medical students?
I really think so. And you know, I have learned it's not just med students and science geeks like myself who buy this book, but artists. So many artists have copies of this book. And not only art students today, but I've recently learned that Picasso had a copy of Gray's Anatomy and actually used Gray's Anatomy as a reference for some of his paintings. So it's, you know, used worldwide, has been in dozens of languages, and yet the story behind it hasn't really been told, which is what's fun about this book.
Had anything been written about H.V. Carter before you wrote this book?
Well, very little. There were definitely a few academic articles. One thing to know about Carter is that he left London even before Grey's Anatomy was first published in 1858. He moved to Bombay, India.
And he avoided the smallpox.
He did. He avoided the smallpox, but he couldn't avoid some terrible scandals that he became embroiled in Bombay, India. Scandals he confided to his diary, scandals that I learned about from deciphering them. And it's really a juicy tale what happened to him in Bombay.
That were they connected with his work, or
they weren't? He met a woman, and keep in mind this is the Victorian age and colonial India. And I'll just leave it at that. It's a good tale. But he didn't go on to do any more artwork, which is amazing. You know, he didn't become an anatomical artist. He was an anatomist and a surgeon, like Henry Grey, and he ended up teaching anatomy in Bombay, performing surgery, and doing some really important medical research. So it's also nice to restore that part of his story.
You mentioned that you took gross anatomy classes with mm-hmm. med students at the University of California in San Francisco. At what point did you decide upon the structure of your book, history intermixed with your own observations of the dissections, which suggests another kind of a collaboration?
Yeah, that's true. It was, you know, my original intent was just to gain some background research on anatomy. I figured if I'm going to write about these famous anatomists, I should know something about anatomy myself.
Were you reading Carter's journals while you were taking the courses?
I was. It all kind of came together quickly. I learned what I could about Grey, about Carter. I discovered these diaries. I called up UCSF. I thought, well, I'll just take a class or two. But by the end of that first class and that first lab, I was hooked. You know that Woody Allen movie, Zelig? Mm-hmm. Where he blends into the background. I was like an anatomy zealot. I just blended into the classes and labs and kept coming back day after day after day. And while at first I thought it would just be background research to help me sort of get into their minds and understand how they performed these dissections, shortly afterward, maybe like a month or so in, I thought, you know what? There could be an incredible story here. My own education in anatomy. So I had started keeping a diary. And I just kept going back to class. One course ended. I started another. I went to another and another. Ended up studying anatomy for a full year and really getting to the point where I was able to even help the med students with their studies. The incredible privilege for me, I mean, I can't even explain it, being able to see and study every part of the human body from the brain to the toes.
Well, you have to explain why it didn't upset you the way it does some. There mm-hmm. are people who can go to an anatomy class, watch a dissection,
right,
and handle it perfectly well, and others who have to rush out and throw up.
Yeah.
Even dissecting a frog upset some people in my college biology class.
Sure. You know, I guess just saying to you that I have a really strong stomach probably isn't enough. My curiosity about the body and my fascination with the body and my fascination with the story of Grey and Carter, that just settled my stomach and overrode it all.
There's also a photo of Grey's anatomy class that you found.
Yeah, that was really the hook.
Thomas Aikens has done paintings along those lines.
Yeah, which are really beautiful.
Can we learn anything about how science was conducted at the time?
Absolutely, we can. And, you know, there are only two photographs that exist of Henry Grey. One is of him alone. In fact, it's on the cover of my book. And then I found this photograph of him in the dissecting room at St. George's, the anatomy teacher, surrounded by his students, in a lab that looks almost more like an art studio. And there's the cadaver splayed out right before him, and there's Professor Henry Grey with this look on his face that just captivated me. And I knew when I saw that man and that look on his face, I had to tell his story.
You also lost your partner during the writing of this book. How did the time you'd mm-hmm. spent studying the human body affect how you viewed his death?
Oh, it definitely did. You know, I finished a copy of the book about 3 weeks before Steve died and sent it in to my editor at Ballantine. The book seemed finished. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, he died of a heart attack. And it did change my view of the book and of the body, and I eventually did go back and write an epilogue where I wrote about the fact that, I'd spent this whole year surrounded by dead bodies and really dealing with death in a certain way, but had never had to confront death and face it in such a personal way. And everything I'd learned in the anatomy lab and in my classes both did prepare me for that and didn't at all.
Bill Hayes will be giving a reading and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at 192 Books on 10th Avenue and 21st Street. His book, The Anatomist, A True Story of Gray's Anatomy, is published by Ballantyne. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.